You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Corporate governance has really mirrored the decline in the country's fortunes over the last few years. Think Steinhoff and Tongaat and VBS, they certainly stand out in the rogues gallery, so to speak. And central to these scandals has been the role of the audit function, both internal and external. The profession is facing a sort of existential crisis as liability claims increase on the one hand, and the market demands more accountability and insight and foresight on the other. Now, central to this has been this internal conflict between the fact that audit firms have effectively become all-purpose management consultancies with all the other revenue streams offered by services outside of audit. And how might this inherent conflict of auditing a client but also wanting to secure its business with these other services be resolved? Well, today, KPMG took a bold step to answer this by separating the two. KPMG South Africa will become the first partner in KPMG's global network to voluntarily cease offering consulting services to JSE-listed audit clients from the beginning of April. And that's no April Fool's joke. I'm joined by KPMG Chair Professor Wiseman and Kutlu. Professor, welcome. What have you resolved exactly to do here to tackle this inherent conflict?
Yes, Michael. What we had, and also what we've been reading in many reports of analysts, is that there is a big concern about the conflict that the auditors face in doing both audit and advisory to their clients. So we have thought very hard about this, and we have come to the conclusion that the arrangements that are in place now with this non-audit related work being managed by audit committee doesn't seem to have adequate credibility with the market. So we have decided as KPMG South Africa to take this bold step and say from the 1st of April this year, we'll not be doing any non-audit related work on our JSE listed companies. It to respond clearly to public concern about the conflict of interest and how this undermines the courage and skepticism of the auditor and make the auditor conflicted.
It's a bold step, and I think one that many had been calling on the industry to consider for some time now. What are the sorts of conversations that you had internally at KPMG to arrive at this decision to now say that from the beginning of April, you're not going to be offering these consulting services to your JSE-listed audit clients? Because clearly, that is going to be a knock on your revenue.
Yes, it's going to be a knock. But really, we have been carefully taking steps to address public concern and loss of trust in KPMG in particular. And the major, we have been having major, our major trust in dealing with this thing has been what I refer to as reinvigorating pride in auditing as a service to society, that auditors' primary duty is to enhance trust in published accounts. That's their purpose for existence. And that for this, for us to fulfill this role, we must be trusted by the public. If public continuously tells us that this arrangement we have undermines trust, we have to address it head on. We lose some revenues, but given where we are as a firm, we are not very concerned about that. We think but through improved trust by the clients, by the market, we are going to regain trust and be able to really grow as a firm.
So you're starting with listed clients. Do you see this being moved to all of your clients over time?
Yes. We felt that the JSE-listed companies are the ones that really have the highest public interest. And the way that we audit those firms is one that is really in the eyes of the public. And let's deal with that first. And then we're already working on extending this to all our clients. We thought of extending it next to only public interest clients and finally to all our clients. And our analysis on this work is continuing, and I'm confident that within, I would say, 18 months, we'll be making another announcement.
Is this something that is going to be considered by KPMG globally? Are you the first in the firm globally to trial this, and do you see this setting the standard, setting the benchmark amongst other KPMG offices around the world?
I would think so, because, you know, as I say, the evidence on this conflict of interest is overwhelming. If you read great analysts on the matter, and KPMG and the profession are really weighing this thing up and working very hard to restore trust in the profession. So possibly there's going to be a wait and see, but I would expect the rest of KPMG network firms to look at our leadership, and we hope that this is going to be something that is going to be adopted by the profession in South Africa and also by KPMG globally, because the evidence is overwhelming that this conflict of interest has to be addressed for the profession to regain public trust.
Professor, it also runs to the heart of the role of the auditor, and for so long the profession has maintained that an auditor is a watchdog, it's not a bloodhound. But if you look at the fact that surely auditors are second to management when it comes to the access that they have to critical financial and supporting documentation, and are therefore best placed to seek to protect investors and the public and our pension funds from theft that is too often occurring in corporate South Africa, do you think the profession, if it's going back to this audit function to get trust back and to regain trust, should more closely look at its role and seek to be far more professionally sceptical when it audits accounts, and to not just say, right, we're a watchdog, not a bloodhound. If there is blood to be sniffed out, surely that is the role of the auditor too.
Yes, I agree, Michael. The issue of the audit profession accepting increased responsibility for rampant, continuous, fraudulent activities by companies, that call has been rising, and the profession is responding to that. That really it has to accept an increased role, and of course that increased role is also requires that those like the auditors who have got this access to all this information, power to actually make a difference. The chief executives of companies, the boards of directors, the audit committees, all of them must accept increased responsibility for detecting fraud and rampant accounting irregularities. And all of them must be subject to the same level of regulation and scrutiny. We as the audit profession, starting with KPMG, we are ready to accept increased responsibility, and we are increasing our systems accordingly. But for the problem of misleading and fraudulent corporate reporting to be addressed fully, the regulation should also encompass other guardians of governance, as I say, chief executives, chief financial officers, and audit committees. They should also be subject to increased regulation. And of course, increased effectiveness of ERBA, the regulator for the audit profession. We need a holistic, comprehensive enhancement of regulation, for the whole profession, and also acceptance of greater responsibility and accountability for each of these levels of assurance. And we are ourselves as KPMG, we are showing our willingness to really accept increased responsibility, and we are taking this step to really respond to public concerns about this particular matter of conflict of interest.
And it is perhaps one small step for KPMG, but I think one giant leap for the profession in the country. So you need to be applauded for taking it. Professor Wiseman and Kutlu, thank you very much for sharing your reasons behind the decision that KPMG has taken to become the first partner in KPMG's global network to voluntarily cease offering consulting services to its JSE-listed audit clients from the beginning of April.